Hi, this is Brian with Brian's Spain Domain, and we are back with another episode from our series Spanish History 101. This is episode 9, just what have the Romans ever done for Spain? Now, in the last episode, we began to talk about the influence, and I'm talking about the major influence that the Romans had on Hispania. It was so great, so complete, so enduring, that scholars have described it as the Romanization of Spain. And it's a very accurate description, if you ask me, because the Hispania, or Iberia, that we knew before the arrival of the Romans, that Celtic world, that Iberian world, in so many ways would be lost forever, though not completely, as we'll tell you about. And it would send this country and its history into an entirely new direction, the effects of which can still be felt and perceived today. And in that episode, we looked at some of the more obvious ways in which the Romans became established in this land. And we pretty much started with the towns and the cities that were either founded by the Romans or rebuilt in the vision that they had of urban design. And we said that many of the examples are still among us today and there for us to visit. And we're talking about places like Mérida and Tarragona, for example. We also mentioned the Romans' fondness for infrastructure and the resulting roads, bridges, and aqueducts, and even sewer systems that improved life in Spain in so many ways. And there are plenty of examples of those which can be found in different cities. And we stopped there because there was a lot to say, there's a lot to tell. And so if you want to learn more about it, we suggest you check out episode 8. But this also showed us that this was just the tip of the iceberg. There was so much more. So that brings us to the follow-up question: what else did the Romans ever do for Hispania? And the answer is an obvious a lot. And today in this podcast, we will mention some of the ones which probably had the deepest impact on this country. You see, Rome's occupation and conversion and transformation of Hispania was so thorough that the region essentially became an extension of the city of Rome, of the Roman civilization. In many ways, it ended up being more Roman than anything it had resembled previously. And that's partly because the Romans were here for so many years. Remember, they were in Hispania for some 600 years. And even if we sort of lop off the first century or two, meaning that's when the Romans were sort of trying to assert their authority over the land, and there were lots of wars, and they didn't have a firm hold over the situation. Or the last century, as things were beginning to fall apart, we're still talking about 300 solid years of full integration into the empire, and a peaceful one too, and that would have had a big effect on the transformation. And there are plenty of examples. Take language, for instance. After centuries of dominance and presence on the peninsula, the scores of languages and dialects that had flourished during the pre-Roman times, we're talking about Iberian and Celtic language groups mainly, although there were others, had all but disappeared, and they survived mainly in just place names like Segovia. Sego, I believe, means victory. And perhaps some of the words that have survived to this day in modern Spanish. They say, for example, the word for dog, perro, is often cited as probably coming from a non-Indo-European source, thus pre-Roman. And there are a handful of other words. But other than that, the only true leftover from those days is modern Basque, a language so different, so mysterious, that to this day there's no full consensus as to its origin. But one thing is clear, it is not Indo-European. It's probably older than almost any other language in Europe, It's a fascinating subject that has puzzled experts for centuries. In any event, sticking to the influence of Latin, that was established in Hispania. It obviously sort of developed into a Spanish version of Latin, which then evolved centuries later into a handful of new languages, descendants of Latin. Many of them are still alive and kicking today, some more than others, some are in better shape than others, but they are all known as Romance languages. Now, during the Middle Ages, these included languages like Galician Portuguese, which would soon sort of separate and go their own ways, one being Galician, the other Portuguese. And then there was others like Asturian, Leonese, Aragonese, Catalan, and of course, a regional language from sort of the north central part of Spain known as Castellano, Castilian, the precursor of modern Spanish. Now, each language has fared differently over the centuries, with extremes ranging from Spanish, which is currently, I believe, the fourth most widely spoken language in the world, to Asturian and Leonese, essentially the same language, which combined count on a scarce 150,000 native speakers. If you ask me, that figure may be a generous one. It's probably not even that high. In any event, currently there are 5 official languages in Spain, 4 of which are descendants of Latin, the other is Basque, but the ones I'm mentioning here are Spanish, Galician, Catalan, and Valencian. Actually, that's just 3 because Valencian and Catalan are virtually the same language, but they've been separated for almost purely historical and political reasons. The subject of these languages and their trajectory over the centuries, as well as their status today, is a major point of pride, friction, and contention in this country, even today. And we'll have to address that fascinating subject at a different time, because if you want to sort of understand an important part of Spain and how it works, it's good to know the history of these languages. But for today, suffice it to say that Latin and its derivatives, so to speak, would become the standard working forms of communication here. So that was a big influence. Now, an extension of the substitution of the pre-Roman languages would seem to be the near annihilation of many of the pre-Roman cultures. The tribes and the peoples that populated this vast expanse of the Iberian Peninsula would slowly but surely either meld with or integrate into the Roman way of doing things, the Roman civilization. This was especially true of Andalusia and in the center of the country and in the eastern part of Spain. Many would end up being called sort of Hispanic Romans, sort of citizens of the empire. This would become more formalized around 74 AD under a law by the Emperor Vespasian, who granted towns and their inhabitants the status of members of the Latin world. And then that brings us to the notion that Rome was the first civilization to treat the land of Hispania as one entity, albeit broken up into different provinces. The name Hispania, as we have mentioned before, is clearly the ancestor of the name today, España or Spain. So there are those who consider the unity of Spain to go back as far as the Roman period. Now that may be stretching it a bit, in fact it is, but it isn't that far-fetched. It does suggest that the country was moving in that direction, though ever so slowly. It would take a long time before the sense of a nation, or Spain as a nation, would become cemented. Anyway, while it's true that many of the former cultures all but disappeared, it is also true that a number of the regions managed to preserve at least some of their identity from the earlier ages. And these can be seen in sort of the northern regions, in places like Galicia, Asturias, Cantabria, and the Basque Country, places that form a string of regions along Spain's northern coast. And they all allude to the former pre-Roman culture. Now, just how much of this is real or the product of later revivals by people who wanted to sort of link their region to sort of a former past is still subject to debate. But there's certainly something to say for it. Anyway, what else was important? Well, Roman law, for example, of course, the development of a legal system based on Roman law would become a standard throughout Europe. Today's Spanish civil law also finds its roots in this tradition set down by the Romans during their occupation or presence here. It has evolved quite a bit since then, and there have been other influences, such as the Napoleonic Codes, but its importance is undeniable. Then there is Christianity. This gets somewhat overlooked at times when people list Roman influences, but there's no doubt it's a big one, because just as it was being accepted in the rest of the empire, so it would be in Hispania. Now, tradition has it that St. Paul came to Spain, and they believe that because he himself mentions it in the Bible. At least he talks of his intention to go to Spain or to Hispania, but that's it. We don't really know anymore. There's no proof he was ever there. Then later came the story of St. James the Greater, who was said to have evangelized Spain, which is supposed to explain why his body lies beneath the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela, all the way up in the northwest corner of Spain. But once again, there is little historical evidence to back that one up, so we just don't know. But chances are it didn't happen. What we do know is that Christianity began to make inroads during this period, and that it quite possibly entered through the north of Africa and thus the south of Spain by way of the Roman soldiers and the merchants who had contact with both worlds. But it may have come in through different places too. Once it was legalized by Constantine in 313 AD and made official later by Theodosius, it would become more deeply ingrained in Spanish lifestyle, and it would eventually shape Spanish thinking and policy for many centuries to come. But there's a lot more to tell about that story, and we will get to it when the time comes. For now, remember that the Romans also introduced this religion and established it in Hispania. Then you have other things like industry, economy, agriculture. They were all a big part of Roman civilization and a big part behind its success. Mining was of major interest to the Romans. They looked for tin, iron, copper, gold, and silver, and they brought with them their best and most brutal techniques to obtain it. And they found plenty of everything in Spain. Agriculture was extremely important. Irrigation improvements were imported, and both Rome and the locals benefited as this land slowly turned into a breadbasket of sorts for the Eternal City. In all fairness, olive oil and wine had already been introduced to Hispania well before that, thanks to the Phoenicians and the Greeks, but this civilization took it to a whole nother level. Okay. Both sectors remain an essential part of Spanish culture and agricultural products to this day. The fact that Spain still produces, on average, 50% of all of the world's olive oil is proof of that legacy. Many of Spain's wine regions are said to have gotten their start when the Romans were there, and that shouldn't be surprising. The Romans liked their wine, they liked it a lot, and wherever they went, you can bet your life they made sure they were well supplied with vino. And with that, I think we'll stop there and continue next time by looking at this whole subject the other way around. Just what did Hispania ever do for the Romans? I hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, click on our PayPal donate button. Or if you wish to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts, you can check us out at Patreon at the link provided in the description. Stay safe, stay well, and hasta pronto.